Texas will be probably the toughest week between this week and next week. And there'll be a lot of death, unfortunately.
Warnings of greater hardship amid the coronavirus pandemic. It's Monday, April 6th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online at Instagram and VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, businesses close, unemployment soars, calls to ban wildlife trade, a century-old pandemic case study, major religious observances while homebound, one church turns to music. It's all on today's VOA Asia. With the number of coronavirus cases surpassing the 1 million mark globally, U.S. President Donald Trump is addressing when the worst will occur. Currently, 42 of the 50 U.S. states are under lockdown orders. Over the weekend, officials briefing on the pandemic emphasized the importance of the next 2 weeks in the country's fight against the virus, as plans for a COVID-19 treatment were also mentioned. VOA's Carolyn Pursuti has the latest.
With more than a million infected globally and 60,000 dead, President Donald Trump warned of an upcoming apex for the U.S.
This will be probably the toughest week between this week and next week, and there'll be a lot of death, unfortunately.
Meanwhile, the nation's top infectious disease doctor says physical separation is working. Dr. Anthony Fauci suggests everyone focus on a new number to judge progress.
At the same time that we may be seeing an increase in deaths, we want to focus on the effect of mitigation is really the number of new cases.
Europe is also being hit hard by the coronavirus pandemic. Germany donated ventilators to Spain, which is planning to extend its nationwide lockdown to late April. Italy says 11,000 medical workers are infected with the virus, totaling 10% of all infections. France is moving patients from large cities to the country. New York, with 114,000 confirmed cases, received 1,000 ventilators from China and Oregon.
This is a big deal, and it's going to make a significant difference for us.
Even so, Governor Cuomo says New York needs 30,000 more devices that can cost up to $50,000 each. On the cutting edge for treatment, though, plans to take plasma from recovered patients and transfer its antibodies to the sick.
We are planning to actually scale that up, and we'll have more information this week.
On Saturday, President Trump spoke with sports leaders who are facing this: empty baseball stadiums in early April. COVID-19 delayed baseball's opening day.
When, if ever, will it start again? Will it start this year, or is it over?
It's not football season, but the Washington Redskins field is now a community testing site for needy patients.
We have a lot of folks that are undocumented, and almost 90,000 residents do not have health insurance.
The president says the next congressional stimulus package should have more money for small businesses, as well as tax deductions for sports leagues. He wants people back in stadium seats.
We have to open our country again.
But every U.S. sport is suspended, just like the rest of the world, waiting for a turning point in the virus. Carolyn Pursuti, VOA News.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Afghan spy agency captures regional Islamic State chief. U.S. links international aid to fixing Afghan political dispute. Banning consumption of wildlife in Asia difficult despite COVID pandemic. China bars human rights lawyer from seeing wife upon jail release amid pandemic. Malaysia arrests thousands amid coronavirus lockdown. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia and the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. A record 6.65 million U.S. workers filed for unemployment compensation last week as businesses large and small shut their doors in the face of the coronavirus pandemic. VOA's Arash Arabasadi tells us more on the implications of these numbers released by the U.S. Labor Department.
6.6 million Americans filed unemployment claims, pushing the two-week jobless total higher than 10 million, shattering records. David Wilcox, a senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, says the speed of unemployment dwarfs the Great Recession of 2008.
It took about 19 weeks for that many claims to be filed. 19 weeks back then compared to just two now. So that, I think, puts a dimension on just how frightening and how sharp the downturn in the labor market is this time around.
Senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com, Mark Hamrick, says explaining the collapse is simple.
We're all staying at home, and we're not able to consume the things that we would typically be consuming, at least not all of them. Severe measures have been called for, and it's having a severe impact on the national economy as well as the global economy.
Economists expect U.S. unemployment figures to skyrocket, but the question is for how high and for how long.
There's going to be some long-lasting, if not permanent, economic damage occurring. There will be businesses that will not be able to recover. Much like 9/11, I think some things will change, you know, forever, so to speak.
With more grim news ahead.
It's a coordinated downturn across essentially every economy in the world.
Experts say the true measure of the economic downturn may not come for months and must be measured against jobs numbers before the novel coronavirus. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
You're listening to VOA Asia. With social distancing now the mantra to keep the coronavirus from spreading further, more American consumers are turning to online delivery apps to get their food and household products. Yet, as VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo reports, not everyone can avoid going to stores, and if you must go, experts advise people to observe some basic precautions.
The coronavirus outbreak is boosting demand for home delivery of meals and groceries as more consumers avoid crowded restaurants and stores.
Fresh bananas. Yams.
Sandy Nuremberg was dismayed after a recent trip to the supermarket.
It was a madhouse, and it was crowds of people and everybody coughing.
So the mother of two decided to try something different. She's now ordering all her groceries on Instacart, an online delivery service.
Instacart has definitely become 100% of our grocery use now because it's available and I can. It's reducing, you know, our exposure and our exposing other people because I have small kids.
From his home office, Professor John Swartzberg advises that everyone should restrict their contact with other people.
The less contact we have with other people, the less chance we're going to become infected. So going to the grocery store is a perfect opportunity to interact with lots of other people, particularly if the grocery store is crowded.
Over the past few days, Instacart and other retail stores have set records for daily app downloads, according to Apptopia, a data tracking service. But if you can't use the apps and must physically go to the stores, infectious diseases expert Jason Farley says, try shopping at off-peak hours. Also,
when you grab a shopping cart, most stores are now putting some level of alcohol or Clorox wipe out front. Take the handles of your cart and clean it with that alcohol-based wipe. And then when you're done with that, use the alcohol-based Purell or some other form of alcohol-based gel to clean your hands.
What about gloves?
You wearing gloves in a store, okay, is as good as you touching something. You've then touched other things in your buggy. But when you get home, if you then touch that same metal can or same plastic bags or same activities, the virus is probably still there.
With the virus being spread from person-to-person contact through respiratory droplets, experts say the safest course while shopping is to avoid close contact with other shoppers. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, government researchers in Australia have started animal tests of two potential COVID-19 vaccines. However, experts caution that even if they prove successful, manufacturers will be unlikely to mass produce a vaccine until next year. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happier with us today on VOA Asia. Scientists say COVID-19 likely originated through animal-to-human transmission at a wild animal market in Wuhan, China. New studies by the Global Virome Project, a worldwide effort to increase preparedness for pandemics, indicate the world can expect about 5 new animal-borne pathogens to infect humans each year, creating a sense of urgency to curb the wild animal trade. Steve Sanford gathered details for VOA and has more from Krabi, Thailand.
The wildlife trade in Asia is big business, accounting for more than $7 billion in profits in China alone, according to leading wildlife conservation and environmental groups. But the trade and consumption of wild animals has also become a global threat, as zoonotic diseases, meaning the transfer of viruses from animal to human, are increasing. Most experts are calling for a ban on the trade and consumption of wild animals.
We're not talking about banning deer or duck hunting. We're talking about ending the global commercial trade in wild animals. This COVID-19 started in a wildlife market in Wuhan, China. The Chinese know it. That's why they closed that market, closed all markets across the country, and have banned wildlife trade and wildlife consumption.
Asia's appetite for eating pangolins and other wildlife has led to several virus outbreaks in the early 2000s, including the SARS pandemic. Transmission was believed to have occurred from bats to pangolins and civet cats before leaping onward to humans. None of the past animal-borne diseases have been as widespread as COVID-19, but doctors are hoping new technology will help in developing vaccinations.
This pandemic is spreading faster right now, but we also have better and faster communication in the era of big data on a real timeline that is helping develop our newer biotechnology.
In China's neighboring countries such as Myanmar, wildlife hunting is a tradition, providing food and revenue for local families. But as development increases into the rural areas, the threat of wildlife trafficking conflicts with traditional norms practiced by the local population.
This is our lifestyle. We have no idea about the virus or the disease. It's not our main priority. If they shut down the wildlife hunting, it's going to be tough for us to find food. And we won't have food to feed our children because we live in the jungle.
As China begins easing restrictions in former COVID-19 hotbeds, conservation groups say they will continue applying pressure to permanently eliminate the wildlife trade and the deadly viruses that come with it. Steve Sanford for VOA News in Krabi, Thailand.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
This news from VOA Asia, the Hong Kong government criticized public broadcaster RTHK for breaching the One China principle after a reporter asked a World Health Organization official about Taiwan's eligibility to join the international body. The government's reprimand has stoked widespread concern about the implications for Hong Kong's press freedom. You'll find more throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, the coronavirus pandemic is being compared to an event just over a century ago, a deadly global Spanish flu pandemic of 1918. Before the novel coronavirus struck the world with full force earlier this year, the Museum of the City of New York had opened an exhibition dedicated to the dreadful events of the 1918 pandemic. Anna Nelson has the story narrated by Anna Rice.
A few months ago, Sarah Henry, chief curator at the Museum of the City of New York, was preparing an exhibit about the deadly Spanish flu of 1918. Today, that history is Henry's reality, as New York City has become the center of the coronavirus outbreak in the U.S. But Henry is careful about applying yesterday's lessons to COVID-19.
I think we look back to history to see how we've coped in the past, to see if there are lessons to be drawn, but always carefully, because sometimes you take a lesson from one disease, you apply it to another disease, and it doesn't translate so well.
The 1918 pandemic killed, by various estimates, from 20 to 100 million people worldwide, more lives than the war. In the U.S., the first waves of the so-called Spanish influenza arrived with soldiers returning from Europe toward the end of the World War I. A ship docking in New York in the summer of 1918 brought the first cases. Since the war wasn't over, the city decided to keep the docks open, isolating the sick on dry land.
They had a big debate about whether to close the schools. And we just went through that debate here, and the schools have just closed in New York City as we speak. In 1918, they decided not to close the schools because they felt that many of the students would be safer in school where there was more hygienic practice. And of course, they were looking at the tenement neighborhoods.
New York's theaters also stayed open. 100 years ago, with no radio, TV, or let alone internet, theaters were used to help spread information, which included lectures on self-care. Interestingly, the mortality rate in New York turned up being lower than in many American cities. Historians believe this was because authorities closed the subway after quickly recognizing the dangers of keeping it open.
We're looking at particularly the rush hours in the morning and the evening and thinking about how to get the subways less crowded. So this was a kind of combination of mandatory and voluntary in that they worked together with the different business sectors to plan that different kinds of businesses would open at different times.
What makes COVID-19 different from the Spanish flu is that the 1918 sickness was more dangerous for younger, healthy adults, especially those who worked in the service industry. They were obliged to wear masks, and those who didn't were fined and faced serious consequences.
They authorized the police to give out tickets. Basically, they made coughing and sneezing a misdemeanor if you didn't cover your mouth.
The New York City hospitals were overwhelmed by the number of patients. With the population of about 5 million people at the time, more than 30,000 New Yorkers died during the pandemic. It took the city 2.5 months to finally conquer the virus. For Anna Nelson in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Can the coronavirus survive in cold weather? Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take: wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you're sick or advised to by local authorities. A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Hong Kong has ordered pubs and bars to close for 2 weeks, starting from this past Friday, as the financial hub steps up social distancing restrictions and joins cities around the world in the battle to halt the spread of coronavirus. Anyone who violates the new law faces 6 months in jail and a fine equivalent to about $6,400 U.S. The extraordinary move in a city that never sleeps comes a week after the government stopped all tourist arrivals and transit passengers at its airport and said it was considering suspending the sale of alcohol in some venues. Hong Kong added that 62 confirmed coronavirus cases in the city had been linked to bars, leading to 14 further infections, including a 40-day-old baby. As of Friday, Hong Kong had 802 cases of coronavirus and 4 deaths from the disease. Alcohol will still be available in supermarkets and convenience stores across the Asian Financial Center. You can read more on this story and many others at our website, voanews.com. Now on VOA Asia, COVID-19 is disrupting Christian preparations for Easter, as well as religious observances of Jews and Muslims. While most churches, synagogues, and mosques have suspended in-person services, several religious leaders in America are under fire for violating bans on public gatherings. VOA's Chris Simpkins joins us with more.
This Florida pastor was arrested for holding church services for hundreds of worshipers. Rodney Howard Brown was charged with holding an unlawful assembly, defying local coronavirus stay-at-home orders. He remains defiant.
I'm not ashamed to be arrested for the First Amendment of the United States, which I know other people think I was getting arrested for other things. I mean, you can make up whatever charges you want to. And I know the sheriff said we can't hide behind the First Amendment, but we can.
Local authorities are taking the infraction seriously.
His reckless disregard for human life put hundreds of people in his congregation at risk and thousands of residents who may interact with them this week in danger.
It's not an isolated case. People recently packed into a church outside Baton Rouge, Louisiana, The pastor was also arrested. Since the coronavirus outbreak, many places of worship have closed their doors, holding services online. Reverend Sylvia Sumter says it's the right thing to do.
To put people in danger, to me, goes against your edict to sort of say, not, do no harm, but to serve the greater good. And keeping the doors of the church open is not serving the greater good of your flock and those whom they come in contact with.
With new restrictions, some churches are holding outdoor services that allow more social distancing.
Even though we have to keep a distance, we can still come together.
Many places of worship are hurting financially. Halting services halts in-person donations. Now there's a push to increase online giving.
When this is over, we still want to have a church and a sanctuary. We have a mortgage to pay, keep the lights on, and pay the salary of the employees, and that's a big part.
No one knows when the pandemic will end, and public gatherings for worship can resume. Chris Simpkins, VOA News, Washington.
In London, Amy Tan, a worship pastor at a local church in Ealing, is fighting this isolation with the gift of song.
You know, I'm really happy that people come out with this initiative and I can be part of it. So, you know, I'm happy that I could concentrate my mind on something else. Yeah. And,
My name is Amy Tan. I am a part-time worship pastor at my local church in West Ealing. We do have a lot of people who are elderly in the congregation, and I've become really close to some of these people. It definitely affected me, and I was just thinking of all these people who would have to self-isolate and how it would affect them mentally, emotionally. And I was thinking, you know, I would love to do something that will help them get their minds off what's going on outside of their homes.
About two nights ago, I decided that, you know, what can I do with my lovely friends who are musicians themselves? And I hope that you will be entertained and encouraged, and it will give you a bit of an uplift. My first song is a jazz number. It's by Frank Sinatra.
Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
It's really nice to meet you.
So now that the situation in regards to COVID-19 has escalated, in the midst of tragedy, it brings out kind of like an excitement of like, hey, we've got creative ways of doing things, of creative ways of reaching out to the community.
Hi. Come on, sing along.
I'm so in love with you.
To me, I feel like there are just no words left to explain how just the right kind of music, the right kind of songs will just lift my spirits up. So there's this one lady who responded to my post, and she mentioned that she's celebrating a birthday next week and she had to cancel her party, especially because she's self-isolating because she's got MS. And she was really excited about it. She messaged me a few times. And so that's when I knew that, okay, this is one person that I needed to prioritize.
Mm-hmm. Times are good or bad, happy or let's stay together.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by our accounts on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. You'll also find us online at voanews.com. We thank you so much for joining us today. We hope you're doing well. We also thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. Be safe. Be well.